Give me just a minute.
I didn't have none of that power on any of that stuff down there, so you have to turn it all on. All right. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Psalms of Solomon, chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1, says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, and as the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting table, and his banner over me was love. And you know, I want to look at some of these verses with God's help. But you know, there's a great love story here, and it relates to the church and to Jesus. But you know, in that relationship, if you look at verse 15, there's a warning that goes with it. It says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now I want to look with God's help tonight at little things, and with the Lord's help, the little foxes, little things, and little things that come to us sometimes. There's good things and there's bad things in our life, but sometimes they start out as little. You may be seated tonight. And you know, I thought just a little bit about this and how that little things can do the most damage. And thinking about little things and this relationship with God, you know, it doesn't take much to break a marriage up, to break a home up, to break a family up, to break a church up. Just little things sometimes will do it. Little words, little deeds, little actions. I thought about little grains of sand and what the little grains of sand can do to a powerful engine. You take some of these big old racing cars that they have, and they build them up, and they're so powerful, and they go so fast. But you know, a few little grains of sand that could find its way into that engine can destroy that big, mighty engine and run that big automobile. I thought a little speck of dust can stop a multi-million dollar space mission. Did you know that when they do these things to send up in space, that they work in sterile rooms, and they work in areas where that they have their uniforms on and their different type of protective gear, so that even a little piece of hair or a piece of skin wouldn't fall upon the equipment that they're using, because a little speck of skin or dust or a little hair can ruin that multi-million dollar mission. I thought what a little flea could do, and how it ruined London, and how that little fleas upon the backs of mice in London during, I believe, the 1600s, how that those little fleas spread a dreaded disease throughout London, and millions or thousands would die from the Black Plague in London. Just little things that happened. You know, I think of the diseases. I heard a lot of requests for prayer for different ones tonight that are sick. And I thought of just how a little germ can affect our big bodies, our strong bodies, something that it takes a microscope to look and to see and to identify many times. And how that these little things can wreak havoc in our body. Let me read on just a little more. I thought of how a little worry can change the joy and the enjoyment in a person's life. Just a little bit of worry, just a little bit of too much of anguish and worrying about things in this life. A little bit of fear can stop the progress in a person's life. That life can find that they're not making any more progress in their life because of a little fear that's in that person's life. Then I thought about what a little doubt will do in the life of a Christian. And how then a little doubt will bring a stop to the blessings of God flowing in that Christian's life. You know, these are just little things tonight that I'm mentioning. But you know, the Bible said, let us take the little foxes that spoil the vines. I thought, you know, a little distrust ruins of friendships and marriages and families. A little distrust in those families can break that harmony and ruin that family forever. A little more sin and abuse of these bodies and these temples, how that a little sin begins to destroy these bodies until maybe one day these bodies reach a point where they can no longer fight off those things that we do to these bodies, and they begin to break and crumble. You know, the Bible's talking here about little things and little foxes that spoil the vine. If you read this love story here about the church and about Christ, you find that God does many things for the church. And you know, the devil would do anything he could to stop that relationship and that communion that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't start out with big things. He starts out with little things. And you know, the writer uses the thought of foxes and how that the little foxes would spoil the vines. There's something about the foxes in those areas of Palestine that were a little different than what we're familiar with. The foxes in those places, they would burrow and they would dig underground. Perhaps they're that way here. But you know, they would dig in and they would dig and find a burrow. Jesus even said that the foxes have holes and the fowls of the air, they have a place where they can rest. But he said the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And you know, Jesus referred to those foxes and how that they would dig in. Perhaps this writer talking here is talking about how that little things can get a hold in our life. And little things can dig in and burrow into our heart and into our relationship with the Lord and can get a strong hold in our life that it would really be hard to get out. Something else about those foxes, that those foxes in that area, they would do great mischief and they would creep in very insensitive to anything around them. You know, sometimes the devil likes to creep into our life and bring things into our life, and little by little we might find that we drift away from God, that we drift away from the life that we once had in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that relationship begins to falter and begin to fall apart, and those things slip in that the devil brings in very sometimes very subtly, and we're unaware of those things. We need to be on guard in our life, for this writer says again that we need to take the little foxes. You know, it's up to us to take control in our life. It's up to us to conduct ourselves in the way that God wants us to conduct ourselves. It's up to us to look out for our own spiritual life and to protect that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else about these foxes is that they were very hard to catch. They were very cunning in what they did. They were very wise and very slick. You know, sin is the same way in our life. And when sin begins to enter in, sometimes it's hard to detect. Sometimes we don't want to admit the little things that come into our life. I want to look at a few negative things tonight that come into the lives of people if we're not careful. I thought a little of false teaching and a little tolerance for sin, that when it begins to enter in, if we're not aware of the sin and we're not aware of what God's Word says, we can be easily persuaded to accept the false. We can be easily persuaded to allow things to come into our life that are against God's Word and against God's will. We need to be on guard tonight. The Bible says in one place, as Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he said, "Your glorying is not good." He said, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" What Paul was referring to was the fornication that had entered into the church at Corinth, and they were accepting these things. They were not
standing against these things anymore. And Paul said, it only takes a little bit. It only takes a little bit to begin to affect the whole group of people. We need to be careful and on guard tonight against the false teachings and the false prophets and the false teachers tonight. And we need to stand firmly upon God's Word and know what we believe tonight and know that it's based upon the Word of God. For it only takes a little bit tonight. You know, Jesus said to the disciples, He said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You know, the teachings that they would bring in, the hypocrisy that they would have in their lives. They would say one thing and do another. You see, church, sometimes it only takes a little bit of these things. Paul said to one of the churches, he said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He's saying to them, it just takes a little bit to begin to get a hold in our life and to cause us to ferment and to cause us to be overtaken by sin. You see, it's the little foxes that spoils the vine. We know that so many times the things that are out and out wrong, but we need to be careful of the false teachers and the false doctrines that are rampant in our time. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, this writer says, he said, for our vines have tender grapes. You know, we're still in a growing process tonight. And as we begin to see fruit coming on to our vines, as we begin to see things changing in our life, then we need to be careful. These little foxes would come into the vineyards. And you know, they would plunder the vineyard. They would mess around the vines and they would get to the bottom of the vines and they would bore holes down around the roots of those vines. And not only would they plunder the little grapes off of the vines, but they would dig around until the vine, the roots would be exposed and they would die. You see, this is what the devil is wanting for you and me tonight. He wants us to die in the spirit and to dry up. But Jesus wants us to be fruitful tonight. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to be witness to this world of His Spirit that's in our life and in our midst. And we need to stand up and we need to be aware of false teachers and false doctrines. You know, I thought a little bit of sin in our heart. You know, just a little bit of sin doesn't take much. We're reaching a point when they're giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We reached a time when they're allowing in the church the things that they once stood against, where they're condoning things that they know are wrong tonight. And many are calling the evil good and the good evil tonight. But the Bible says the heart of the wicked is of little worth tonight. So you see, when we allow sin in our heart, and we become wicked in our actions, then we become of little worth tonight. We're no good to God. We're no good to ourselves. We're no good to society tonight. We become of little worth and little value. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. And then the writer said, who can know it? God knows the heart tonight. God knows our thoughts tonight. God knows every time we allow little sins into our life. God knows when the devil's approaching. You know, the problem with sin is it looks so harmful many times, or harmless many times. We look at little foxes. You know, you could take a little fox and you can say it's such a cute thing to look at. Oh, but it's a wild animal. It'll turn on you one day and it'll destroy you. I read of a man that took a boa constrictor, and he had this boa constrictor for many years, and it became his pet. He made a pet out of it, and he raised that boa constrictor, and he got so friendly with it that he forgot that it was a wild animal, and in its nature it was still wild, and nothing would ever change it. He took that boa constrictor to bed with him one night, and he's playing up to that boa constrictor, but sometime in that night, that big old snake wrapped around him and crushed his chest and crushed the life out of him. You see, the little things will grow to be big things if we don't tend to them when they're small and when they're little. My Lord, you know, sin is something not to be played with tonight. A little bit of unconcern tonight will ruin us. You know, sometimes we get unconcerned about the work and the duty of God. Sometimes we fail to see the importance of doing what God has called us to do. You know, there's work and there's labor. The Bible said in one place, we talked about the harvest a little bit. Jesus said we ought to pray the Lord of the harvest that He'd send forth laborers into the harvest. Someone that labors is someone that puts effort forth in their life. But the writer puts it this way when he said he passed by the field of that one that was slothful, and he said he looked, and what he found was this. He said, I saw and considered it well. You know, we need to consider well tonight that being a do-nothing Christian will not get us anywhere in the Lord. We have to be about our Father's business tonight. Hallelujah. He said, I walked by, and he said, I looked upon this field of this one that was slothful. And he said, I considered it well. As I looked, he said, I received some instruction. Have you ever seen anyone in life that has no ambition? Have you ever seen anyone that thinks that life owes them something and they don't need to work for it and everything should be handed to them? Have you ever noticed how so many of them are failures and they're in poverty and they're doing without much in their life because of no effort or no energy or no desire to do anything? My Lord, it's the same way in the Spirit of God tonight. The Bible says, he said, I looked and I received this instruction. Listen what the writer says. He said, yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep. Just a little. You know, just taking a little bit more time and doing what we want to and not doing what God wants us to do. He said, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and says, and thy want shall be as an armed man. Oh, praise God. You see these things when we have no desire to work for God. We find that spiritually we come to poverty and we lose out with God. We have no spirit in our life. We have no blessings in our life the way that we should. Just a little bit tonight. You know, this writer said we ought to take those foxes. He said we need to take them. You know, it's something that you and I need to do in our life is taking control over our own life. Not letting little things hinder us, not letting little things hold us back, but oh, we ought to look at those little things and those things when we see them approaching, and when they're little and they appear to be harmless, we ought to take them right then and say, I'm going to get rid of it while I have the power and the strength over it and the ability to do something about it in my life. But many fail to do that. A little bit of folly can ruin our testimony. The Bible says, dead flies cause the ointment of the, if I get this right, the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. Now, I was waiting for my wife to say something about the old spice that I put on tonight. Because as I was looking at this, I was going to try to get her attention. But it said a dead fly will, it'll take that ointment that perfumer is making. That thing that he's making, and a dead fly flies over it, and he gets in it and he drowns and dies and lays in it, and it begins to ruin that whole aroma and the odor of what that person is trying to do. It says, so doth a little folly to him that is in reputation for wisdom and for honor. I remember years ago, matter of fact, there's one flying around here tonight. Anybody see this little fly running around here tonight? He was up here a little bit, and then I watched him go over after Brother Gary. I hope he's back there after you and leaves me alone tonight, because I sure don't need him up here. But I remember being a young boy about Tyler's size in the Cindy D restaurant. Remember the Cindy D restaurant, Brother Bill? Used to go over there, and they had an ice cream place on one end, and you'd go over and get ice cream cones. And one hot summer day, I had a little extra money in my pocket, enough to get an ice cream cone, and I went and got that ice cream cone, and that thing tasted so good. That frozen custard kind. Praise God, brother. You're smiling. You know what it's good, how it is, and how good it is. But I got down there about halfway, and it started turning blue. I thought, my, there must be some kind of a berry or something in this, and it's getting all nice and pretty blue. I looked a little bit further, and there laid a big old fly in that ice cream. I said, I don't want no more of it. I've had enough. This is what the writer's saying. It took one little fly to ruin what that perfumer was making, to get into that ointment and to ruin it. A little folly in our life. I thought, what is folly? And I looked some words up. I thought, a little bit of gossip. Can I read you what I wrote down? Just a little bit of gossip. Just a little bit of going and yabby, 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 and before you know it, we're known as a gossiper and not of one of integrity and wisdom. Just a little bit of spite. I'm going to get even with that person for what they done to me. They're not going to treat me this way, and I'm going to be spiteful and mean and hateful to that individual. Just a little bit of spite, and we begin to be known as a spiteful individual. I thought, just a little bit of rage, just getting angry a little bit and getting mad and upset and saying, I'm going to tell them what I feel, and we become known as an angry person. You see, it begins to ruin us. It only takes a little bit. It just takes a little bit here and there. And all people begin to look at us, and we begin to establish a reputation as not being a good child of God. But these little things begin to spoil our testimony. These little things begin to get to the root of our heart, and we begin to get these bitter feelings and all of these things in our life. And before you know it, we begin to develop attitudes, and we change, and we're known for those things. Doesn't take much before somebody looks at us and says, oh, they're a Christian. They're supposed to be a child of God. And yet they're full of hate and anger and spite and jealousy and meanness. You see, God is love. And God wants us to be loved. Now, I'm not saying you sit and put up with everything that everybody does to you and treat you bad all the time. But my Lord, instead of spiting off and spouting off and running our trap sometime, we ought to just walk away and say, God, you take care of it. He'll handle things. He'll take care of things. Now, there's a time when we have to stand. But not to stand and argue with people. That's a wrong attitude. That's a wrong thing for God's people to do. I thought, just a little bit of idol worship will affect our devotion to God. Doesn't take much. We get a little bit of idol worship in our life. When Ahab... when he was killed, and Jezebel, she was put to death, and Jehu came, and Jehu would gather up all the prophets of Baal, And he would say, I'm going to have a big worship service. I'm going to have a great sacrifice to Baal. And he didn't let them know what he's going to do, but he's going to put all of them to death. And you know, he said, oh, Ahab, you know, he worshiped Baal just a little. You know, he let them think that Ahab worshiped just a little. But somewhere in Ahab's life, it started out as one little thing, and it led to another, until he became one that provoked the Lord God to anger over Israel more than any other king. He was wicked and evil, and it started with a little. You know, a little bit of backsliding on God, a little bit of cooling off, a little bit of drifting away, and before you know it, we're losing out with God, and we're going to miss the rapture. You know, we ought to move a little bit in the other direction, oughtn't we? And I thought, you know, but you know, everything doesn't have to be bad. Let's change the direction. Let's go in the other direction and see some little things that'll help us in our life. I thought, you know, we can have little things in our life that praise God, that if we can listen to the little still small voice of God speaking to us. God still speaks to the church. But is anybody listening tonight? God still speaks. And He still speaks. Can you read over in Revelation? All of those churches. He said, you know, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit had to say to the churches. God is still speaking tonight. When old Elijah was going through all of his trouble and he ran and he got afraid, and God still spoke to him, and he didn't speak in thunders and lightnings and earthquakes, but he spoke in a still small voice. Every once in a while, we got to take a little time out from all the troubles that we're having. And we ought to take a little time with Jesus. Think about that. We ought to take a little time in our prayer closets. We ought to take a little time on our knees and in our Bibles and seeking God and praying and trying to get a hold of Him again. You'll find that it works. You'll find that God will speak to you. And the Lord will direct your life. He'll speak. You know, sometimes we're waiting for something fantastic to happen. You know, if God could speak in a still small voice, that would be greater than any thunder that we could ever hear. We got time to hear Him and listen to what He's saying. Thunder would frighten us and drive us into hiding. Lightning would shatter many of us and cause us to run and hide for cover somewhere. But a still small voice gives us a little time to listen, doesn't it? And we ought to listen to what He says. God's still speaking tonight. You know, that writer said, we need to take those little foxes. We need to take them. You know, God's not going to take them for you. God will give you the strength and God will give you health. But you know, God gives us wisdom tonight to do the right thing, doesn't He? And if we have a little wisdom, the Bible said if we have, we can ask of God and He'll give us wisdom. So, you know, it's maybe our fault sometimes we don't have the spiritual wisdom that we need. But you know, little things can help us in this life as well as hinder us. You know, those little specks of dust that would get into those big old spaceships. I remember several years ago, maybe some of you remember this Hubble spacecraft that they sent out in this great big old thing so that they could look deep in space. And they got it up there and they found that the mirror that they sent on that thing had just a little bit of a flaw in it and it wouldn't work. And they had to replace it to make it work right. Maybe God needs to replace every once in a while something in our hearts and in our lives. Hallelujah. A little bit of progress forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I thought a little more each day, in each sermon, in each Bible passage we read, in each prayer that we pray to God, that we gain just a little bit more ground and we're moving in the right direction. Isaiah puts it this way. He said, "Whom shall he teach knowledge?" You know, listen to what that question is. God is saying, who can I teach knowledge to? And who can I make to understand doctrine? This blessed word that He gives us to live by. You know, so many are struggling with their lives today because they never opened the book. We're too quick to take man's opinion without looking in the book ourselves. We ought to get into God's Word and see what He has to say to each and every one of us tonight. He said, who can I teach knowledge? And who can I make to understand doctrines? He said, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And then he said, for precept must be upon precept. You know, I found the more that I read, the more that I understand. The more that I get in here, the more that God reveals. If it's never open, we'll never learn. If it's never read and taken into our life, we'll never understand it. We'll never understand every bit of it anyhow. But a little by little, here a little and there a little, precept upon precept. Hallelujah. Said line upon line, we can gain some ground with Jesus tonight. There's good things in serving God. You see, we look at those little foxes, and once we kick them out, and once we get control of them, and all we say, you're not going to spoil my vine, then we need to nourish the vine with something else. We need to put something in our life that'll help us to grow. And if God's Word won't help you to grow, then we are beyond all help tonight. But God's Word will help us to grow. He said we ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. A little bit of sweetness can brighten the darkness of days. So many Christians are walking around with their heads hanging down. So many are bitter over the life situations. You know, there's some things that we're never going to change. We might as well square our shoulders off and go ahead and live for the Lord. Get the joy of salvation in our life and make the best of what we got. A little bit of sweetness in our life. To be kind and good to others and to those around us, and not only to others, but we could be good to ourselves as well. Hallelujah. Listen, Samuel said this, and the Bible says he put forth the end of the rod. It was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb. You know, when Jonathan and the Israelites were fighting the Philistines, Saul said, there's no one to eat anything. They weren't allowed to eat, but Jonathan didn't hear it. And in the heat of battle, those men began to get weary and tired. They began, no doubt, to wonder, why would Saul tell us anything like this? But when they came to a certain wood, They found a big old honeycomb, and it was dripping with honey. Just waiting for someone to get a good taste of it. Don't you know that God wants us to get a good taste of this old time salvation tonight? And old Jonathan didn't hear that. And the penalty was that if anybody took of it, they're going to have to give their life. But you know, he took his rod and he dipped it into that honey. And he was just as tired as anyone else. And he took it to his lips. And surprisingly, it did something to him. You know, it began to get some strength. Every once in a while, we need a little something sweet, don't we, Gene, to give us a little a spark and a little boost. And we find something sweet that maybe at times we're told we can't have. But I want you to know all the blessings of God. Praise God, they'll never hurt you one bit. Hallelujah. And he put it to his lips. And he took just a little bit. Can you see him beginning to smile? All these other guys standing around wanting to take a bit of it. Praise God. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but you know, it could be that when wasn't nobody looking, they might have dipped their finger and took a little bite of it too. But praise God, you know, old Jonathan said, you know, just a little bit I got here. And praise God, you know, just a little bit of God's goodness, a little bit of glory, hallelujah, instead of these little things that hinder us, we ought to get a little bit of the goodness of God tonight. And let Him bless us. Let Him touch us. Let Him help us. And you know, when old Saul said that Jonathan is going to have to die, those Israelites said, nobody in Israel is going to die today. They came to His rescue. I want you to know, hallelujah, that God's goodness is sweet. And whatever the devil might say, we ought to dip right in and get a little bit of His goodness tonight. Hallelujah. Then I thought a little bit of contentment with God and His blessings, what He's given us. Are you glad for all that God's done for you? Praise God. You know, I'm not riding around in that big old Jaguar that I'd like to have. I'll never have one in this life. Praise God. I just maybe talk about it. But I tell you what, one day I'm going to maybe ride on those chariots afar in heaven. Hallelujah. I don't know what He's going to have over there. He might have one sitting outside of my mansion's door. And He might have a big old chariot and horses of fire. And when I get over there, He said, praise God, you've been faithful. You held on. You did what you could. You never had it down there. But you just take a spin around this city. Hallelujah. He said, it's not going to happen that way. Well, it might. Whatever it is, it's going to be all right. Praise God. We won't even need it over there probably. Praise God. We're going to have wings or not. Well, when we get over here, we're going to, woo, glory. It's going to be all right, isn't it? Just a little bit. I thought better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You know, I thought we ought to be glad for what God is doing in our lives tonight. And we ought to count our blessings tonight. Not be envious of what everybody else has. You know, I thank God that God blesses His people. And I thank God that, you know, if someone gets a new house, new automobile, thank God for it. Praise God, if I never have nothing or you never have nothing in this life, you just hold on. We got a mansion waiting on the other side. Glory. We have to live in a tent here to be all right. Abraham did it, didn't he? Praise God. And he made it. Praise God, we might have to end up in a tent before it's all over. I read where they're having these apartment houses up in New York City and they're renting for like $2,700 a month. $20,000 a month. Let me get it right. And I thought, how in the world are people ever going to make it? It kind of frightens you to think of what's all happened. $27,000. I'll get it right in a minute. That's a lot of money. But you know, I got something in heaven. Praise God. They got noise ordinances in New York now, and they're passing all kind of laws about the pollution and everything. There's not going to be any pollution, not going to be any honking horns or shooting guns or banging and a clanging over there. Praise God, not going to be any apartment. Someone said that the Scripture said that Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. They said, oh no, that means rooms. Praise God, I beg to differ with them. I'm looking for a mansion. When I get on the other side, if I had to live in a room, I might as well stay here. Praise God. But on the other side. But you know, we ought to count our blessings while we're here. We ought to be content with what God is doing in our life now. You know, if you don't have what somebody else has, let me ask you tonight. You know, we've made it this far with what we got, don't we? Huh? And you know, we've got food and we've got raiment, and the Bible said having food and raiment, we ought to be content. Thank God for His goodness tonight. Thank God for His blessing. Just a little bit of contentment tonight. A little bit of saying, thank You, Lord, for all You've done. Lord, I don't need a whole lot to make it through this life. Just a little bit. Praise God, just enough to make it day by day. He'll take care of us. You know, being a little faithful over just a little, or being faithful over just a little. Jesus said, when he talked to some of those that had been faithful, He said, "Well done, thou good servant." He said, "Good and faithful servant." He said, "Thou hast been faithful over very little." Over very little. He said, "Have authority over 10 cities. I thought there's better times ahead for the faithful Christian. For the faithful Christian. We've got to remain faithful until the end. And He said, "You've been faithful over just a little." Now, God's not called you to be an overseer over some state or some city or some big church or whatever, you know. He's not called you and placed you over some big business or some big operation and said you be faithful over this. He just called each one of us to be faithful over the little that He gives us to do. And if we can do that, we're going to hear Him say, "Well done. Praise God, you've been faithful over a little." I'm trying to hurry. A little longer, and Jesus will come. Not much longer. You know these little foxes that would try to get our mind off of the rapture. When is the last time any one of us gave thought of the rapture? When is the last time that we got up and went out to work and thought maybe Jesus might come that day? You know, I think I mentioned to you this morning about wanting to see Jesus and longing to see Jesus as I never longed before. That desire to meet Him, to see Him face to face. I've never felt that before in all of my life. I don't know if God's going to call me out or the rapture's going to take place, but I want to be ready to stand in His presence. Just a little longer, church. We don't know how much longer we've got. We don't know when the Lord's going to step out and the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be taken out. Maybe just a little bit more of trial and test in this life. And it'll be over forever. Never have to worry about it again. Won't even have a little bit of trial and test on the other side. Not even a little. Not a little temptation. Not a little sin. Not a little devil or anything on the other side. Nothing at all over there to trouble us. The Bible says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." Just a little while. Now you think about that when you get up in the morning, about the rapture. I wonder if Jesus will come today. Ask yourself that question. You know, it'll make you think a little bit different about that day. Make you look at your life a whole lot different as you go forth that day. You know, and then the Bible said, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, and it is a little while." Listen what God said He's going to do. "And I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." Not going to be long before this is going to happen. God's going to shake this old world. It's already beginning to wobble a little bit, isn't it? You know, the scientists tell us the world's beginning to wobble. They're talking about global warming and all these things. And you know, it's a sad thing that it's happening, but it's a good thing because it says Jesus is coming soon. Just a little while, and He's coming. A little while, and a little time might be left. But we don't know how long we have. So we need to take those little things that hinder us. And we need to say, Sister Millie sings that song, "I don't want nothing here to hinder me." You know, we ought to say, "I don't want anything to keep me out of heaven." You know, little sins begin to be big sins. Little sins. You know, I think of the little things that people do. You know, you see a lot of young people that started out with maybe just a little drink of alcohol. You know, maybe just a little smoke on a cigarette, a little chew of tobacco, a little bit of drugs, and before you know it, it's done got a hold in their life. And they can't get rid of it. You know, they're hooked. And the only thing that will help them and deliver them is the power of Jesus. That's the only thing. And the church needs to say, "Lord, I need just a little bit more of that power. I need more of that power in my life. And Lord, I need to be just a little bit closer to You." Does anybody feel that need tonight? To say, "I need to be just a little bit closer. And I need a little bit more of Your Spirit. God, give me a little bit more of love. Give me a little bit more of your peace. Give me a little bit more of your joy. Praise God. You know, I believe when we ask Him for a little, we get more than we bargain for, don't we? Hallelujah, because woo, it flows like a river. And He opens the windows of heaven up, and you know, we ask for a little, He gives us a lot. Praise God. And He always blesses us, doesn't He? Praise God. But we need to look at that relationship with Jesus tonight. Do we love Him like we used to? Or has our love become little because of little foxes? Has it faltered in our relationship? Have we faltered? Have we drifted away from Him tonight? Has some little thing crept into our life? You know what would probably happen? I can almost see it happening over in those vineyards. Is that maybe sometime during the night, you know, you go out at night, you see these foxes running all over the place, don't you? You don't see them in the day. They're hiding somewhere. Most of the time, you see them at night. You very seldom see them in day. And you know, I can see them at the night, maybe when those vine dressers, those men that have those vineyards would be sleeping, and those foxes creeping through, sneaking out into that vineyard and coming to where those vines were, reaching up and taking those little grapes off of the vine. Boy, hadn't the devil taken our young people? My God, we ought to stand up and say, devil, we're going to take them back, whatever it takes. Fasting, praying, and seeking, and whatever it takes. We're going to do what we can to win them back. But then, you know, he doesn't stop there. He said, if I can get the grapes, you know, that fox goes around, he fools around the bottom, and he does what he has to do to ruin that vine. And he tries to kill that vine while the vine dresser is asleep. You know, we need to stand up and say, devil, you're not going to do that anymore. I believe we can do that. The Bible said we ought to submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. Has anyone had a battle with him? Has anyone had a problem with little things in your life? We all do at times, don't we? Because they slip in, and before you know it, there they are. Well, we ought to take them, and you know, that little fox might look pretty, and he might look cute and everything, but we ought to stomp his head right in the ground and say, you're not going to spread your disease and destroy anything of mine. And might look cute, but it'll grow up to be destructive. It's already destructive even as little. Someone was telling me about a dog that they had one time. And you know, that little dog, I believe, went into the room and tore the carpet up and tore the door up and everything. Cute little dog, wasn't he, Brother Roger? For a while. But cute little things sometimes turn out to be a problem. And that's the way sin is. Sin is attractive and cute and good-looking and nice and looks pleasant. But once it gets a hold, boy, it's hard to get rid of. So grab it while you can. And with the help of the Lord, let's let those other little things that are good in our life and keep those little things that are bad out. Would you stand with me tonight? I want to read you one other thing while Sister Kelly's coming. I might have read this a year or so ago, but it's little things. It's called Little Things. And I thought it was very, very good. And just call it Little Things. So it takes a little muscle, and it takes a little grit. It takes a little true ambition and a little bit of wit. It's not the biggest things that count and make the biggest show. It's the little things that people do that makes this old world go. A little bit of smiling, a little sunny chat, a little bit of courage to a comrade sliding back. It's not the biggest things that counts and the biggest things that show. It's the little things that people do that make this old world go. You see, we don't have to look and say it's just little things that are bad, but it's the little things that you and I can do as Christians. Sometimes we set our goals real high. We ought to set some good goals in our life. But we take many times and we say, we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to do this. and we let our days slip by without doing the little things that God lays right at our doorstep, the little things that count, the little things that make a difference in the lives of those around us. Church, there's a lot of people hurting in this world. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of trouble in this world. The little things that you and I do can make a difference. It might be just simply saying to them, good morning, and giving them a big Christian smile and saying, I hope you have a good day. Might make a difference in their life, Sister Frieda. Or somebody comes to you with a problem and they need just a little of your time. We ought to take a little bit of our time and share with them. We're living on borrowed time anyhow. It belongs to God. It's not ours. Maybe a little bit of help to somebody that's in need. Just little things as we go through this life. You see, the devil comes and says, you're too busy. You got too little time. And he puts those little excuses in our life. And we make excuses. Even though they might be little, they hinder us in the way. And they keep us from doing what God wants us to do. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. But it's the little things that God does for us day after day after day after day after day after day after day that we fail to take notice of. And all of those little opportunities, doesn't He give us opportunities? Can you see where you've missed them? Can you look and see where you've missed little things that God's laid there before you and me? And all He, you know, those things will grow into bigger things. If we're faithful in the little things, He'll trust us with bigger things and greater things. But take every step of every day. Let God bless you and use you. Would you come tonight? Let's come and gather around the altar tonight. Whatever your need is tonight, whatever you need God to touch you with and help you with, if you're struggling with something in your life, oh, gain a little ground tonight in Jesus. Make a little progress tonight and move on with the Lord tonight. Jesus loves you tonight.